topics and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host and their guests, and not those of W4CS Radio, its employees, or affiliates. W4CS makes no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for listening to the Cancer Support Network on W4CS.com. Any health-related information on the following show provides general information only. Content presented on any show by any host or guest should not be substituted for a doctor's advice. Always consult your physician before beginning any new diet, exercise, or treatment program.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to 5 to Thrive Live. I am Carolyn Gazella, the host of tonight's show, and tonight we're going to be talking with one of our go-to experts about the mind-body connection and how we can use that to enhance our health. But before I introduce you to her, I want to remind you that I co-host this show with my good friend and co-author, Dr. Lee Salschuler. We are also the authors of two books on the topic of cancer, and now we are the publishers of the new 5 to Thrive digital magazine. If you'd like more information about us, our new magazine, our books, the show, just visit our website at 5tothriveplan.com. You can also sign up for our Thrive Thoughts. We send those out weekly. That's kind of like our version of the of an e-newsletter, but it's Thrive Thoughts. Just go to the homepage, at the top of the homepage, enter in your email, and you will automatically get our Thrive Thoughts. I also want to thank the sponsors of our show, who are Natural Health International, Tomorrow's Nutrition, Cetria Glutathione, and Cognizant Citicoline. And of course, without our sponsors, we would not be able to bring you this show or guests like we have tonight. And finally, we are live, and we're taking your questions tonight, so you can either call us at 561-623-9427 or type your question into the chat room. That seems to be the preferred way to ask a question. Just go to the bottom right-hand corner of the website, click on Chat with People on this site. You'll be assigned an anonymous name. Click on the general chat, and then boom, you can type your question in for our guest, and it's all anonymous. Speaking of our guest tonight has been on the show before, and she's such a great guest that we've invited her back again to talk about this subject. Joyce Martyr is a licensed clinical counselor and the owner of Urban Balance, an insurance-friendly counseling practice with more than 40 therapists in 5 locations in the Chicagoland area. She received her master's in counseling psychology from Northwestern University, and she currently serves as the vice president of the Board of Illinois Mental Health Counselor Association. Joyce, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Carolyn. Thank you for having me. I think this is such an important topic.
Well, and I have to tell you that every time I read your bio and I read about you online and I know where your website is, I mean, that's pretty impressive. 5 different locations, 40 therapists. What a great resource for folks in the Chicagoland area. Kudos to you on that. And I'm curious, do you and your different locations, do you have a general philosophy or a general counseling style that you can describe?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for the compliments about my practice. And I definitely believe, you know, part of my philosophy is that we all deal with issues related to mental health at different points in our lives, that we all deal with stress, anxiety, depression, grief, and loss issues throughout our life. And I see therapy as something healthy and normal and proactive. And I think it should be covered by insurance. And I saw the real need for that in the Chicagoland area. I think therapy should be like going to the dentist or the doctor, and it should be affordable and accessible. And in terms of my counseling style, like you said, I trained at Northwestern, which is a psychodynamic program. And what that really means is just the belief that we're shaped and molded by our family of origin and our earlier life experiences, and that we all kind of unconsciously recreate what's familiar to us. until we make it conscious and we choose something different. And all of the therapists at Urban Balance are client-centered in the sense that we believe that the therapeutic relationship is really the foundation of therapy, and we focus on our clients' health and strengths. And we all utilize techniques that are going to be the most effective for each individual client. I really believe in the power of cognitive behavioral therapy, which basically is the notion that our thoughts precede our behaviors and our emotions. So our thinking has a huge impact on our health and our wellness, and it really ties into the mind-body connection, definitely.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, from my own personal standpoint, I have had wonderful experiences with counselors. In fact, when I was diagnosed with my ovarian cancer, I was seeing a counselor for depression associated with my mom's death. So my mom died in January, and I was diagnosed in March. So I had, and she was really, we were very, very close, and I had been seeing a counselor for this. And interestingly, the day that I got my diagnosis, I had a counseling session that day. So I went from like the hospital, you know, the doctor, hospital, getting my diagnosis into counseling. And I thought, gosh, how great timing was that? Because that counselor really helped me on one of the most difficult days of my life. So it was, I'm a firm believer. And I think that you bring up a very good point about the mind-body connection. But let's start with something very basic. How do you explain what that means, mind-body connection?
The mind-body connection is really a holistic belief that our minds and our bodies are connected, that our thinking can promote a positive influence on some of our body's responses. I really believe that we're mind, body, and spirit, and that there's really no way that we can separate out any of those entities. And so part of holistic health is looking at the whole person, and our psychology is a huge part of our lives. And I'm always touched by your story, Carolyn, and I can't imagine what it was like for you to be grieving the loss of your mother and facing a cancer diagnosis. And I believe in synchronicity and that there was a reason that you had that appointment with your therapist that day, and that everything has a reason. So I'm so glad that, you know, your therapist was there for you at a difficult time. I think we all need it.
Yeah, well, thank you. And I believe in synchronicity as well. And it was quite fortunate for me in my particular case. So, and we also agree with the Five to Thrive plan. We certainly agree that you cannot separate mind, body, and spirit. And I'm wondering, specific to cancer survivors, why is it important to understand and embrace the mind-body connection?
It's especially important for cancer survivors because mind-body exercises have been proven to decrease pain, enhance sleep, shorten recovery time, decrease anxiety and depression, and increase a sense of control and well-being, which is very important when dealing with cancer. Actually, when I was an undergrad at Ohio State, I took a class that was very popular, and it had an unfortunate name. The name was How to Avoid Dying of Cancer, and it was a popular class. I took it, and it had such an enormous impact on me, and the thing that I remember so profoundly is that the professor invited guest speakers to come in, and they were cancer survivors, and we listened to each of their stories, and he asked us to write a paper about what we noticed. And I know what he wanted us to see was the power of thought and how it affected their recovery. And truly, it was remarkable that the people who really reached out for support and help and practiced self-care and shifted to a positive lifestyle of health and wellness really did much, much better than those that were kind of stuck in a negative pattern of thinking. So I feel really passionately about it. I believe that our psychology can impact our bodies even on a cellular level.
Right. We would certainly agree with you there. So, well, you know what? We're going to take our first quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with licensed clinical counselor Joyce Martyr. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Stress has become a part of our daily lives. We become sleep deprived and sapped of energy. Fortunately, there is a natural product that can help. L-theanine is a special amino acid found in green tea that helps us relax while keeping the brain alert and active. Tomorrow's Nutrition, Suntheanine, delivers 150 milligrams of L-theanine per capsule. Suntheanine has been clinically proven to reduce stress, improve focus, and help us sleep. For more information, visit tomorrowsnutrition.com. As a special bonus, listeners will receive 20% off any order by typing in 5 to Thrive when they check out at Tomorrow's Nutrition. Tomorrow's Nutrition and 5 to Thrive are a great combination. Don't forget the code 5 to Thrive at tomorrowsnutrition.com and get 20% off your order.
Ladies, are you confused about hormones? You're not alone. Even scientists and doctors don't seem to agree on what to do about hormone imbalance. As we age, hormone production can fluctuate, impacting our cycle, PMS, skin, and even fertility. Hormone loss that naturally occurs as you approach menopause can impact bone, heart, and even mental health, not to mention make menopausal symptoms worse. Luckily, there is now an answer. Feminescence is the natural solution born out of 5 years of research and clinical trials. Feminescence does not introduce any hormones into your body. Rather, it nourishes your hypothalamus, pituitary, and adrenal glands, naturally supporting your own production of all hormones. With a different product for each stage of a woman's life, you can find the Feminescence product that is right for you at naturalhi.com. That's naturalhi.com. Or ask for it by name at your local health food store.
Welcome back to 5 to Thrive Live. If you've just joined us, my name is Carolyn Gazella, tonight's host, and my guest is Joyce Martyr, who is the owner of Urban Balance in the Chicagoland area. I want to remind you that we are taking your questions tonight, so you can either call us at 561-623-9427 or type your question into the chat room. It's located in the bottom right-hand corner of the website. Just click on it, and you can go into the chat room. So, Joyce, before the break, you were mentioning some things that we can kind of impact: pain, sleep, anxiety, depression. I'm just wondering if you can kind of elaborate that on that. You know, how does our thinking specifically affect our health?
Absolutely. So our thoughts affect our actions. Our thoughts determine our behaviors. So if we have negative self-talk or negative thoughts, that they fuel self-sabotaging behaviors. For example, if your self-esteem is low and you don't feel valuable or important on a deeper level, or you feel that nobody cares or it doesn't matter, you're not going to make good choices for yourself. You're not going to take care of yourself in the way that you would if you valued yourself. So, you know, if I'm not important, then I'm going to go ahead and just eat this fast food because it doesn't matter. Or I'm just not going to do the things that I'm supposed to do. I don't think that going to acupuncture would really help me anyways. Those kinds of negative thoughts can definitely be self-sabotaging and harm somebody's recovery. Our negative thinking can also impact our relationships. We all want to be around people who are positive and bring light and love to our lives. And we can all think of people in our life who have such negative thinking that they've become toxic to be around. And So it's really important, especially for cancer survivors, to really think about who they're surrounding themselves with and surround themselves with people who promote positivity in their lives. I think, you know, positivity promotes hope, and gratitude is a huge part of developing positive thinking, you know, really paying attention to the things in your life that you're grateful for and shifting to looking at the good parts rather than things that aren't going well or all that is wrong.
Yeah, it's so true. And, you know, you're talking about like surrounding yourself with positive people. I read a study recently, and I can't remember the details, but I'll try to post that on Facebook within the next few days. But it was involving college roommates, and it looked at college roommates who are positive and how they influenced their roommates, and college roommates who are negative and how they influenced their roommates. And it was surprising and shocking how if you have a negative college roommate, how quickly that student will kind of really drop into that negativity and be influenced by that negativity. And it makes me think of people who are a little bit more on the negative side. I mean, is it possible for them to change? And how can those of us who are more positive, how can we influence that and promote that positive thinking in a negative person?
Well, I think a few things. First of all, I'm not surprised about that study that you read. That makes total sense to me. I always love the quote, friends are like elevators. They either bring us up or they bring us down.
That's a good one.
It is. It is. And I believe that, you know, positivity is contagious, and so is negativity. And that toxic energy can really bring us down. I'm currently counseling a man who is dealing with stage 3 colon cancer. And he made the decision that his brother really just causes him so much stress and anxiety that when he was going through a procedure at the hospital, he talked with the family and said, I really don't want him to visit me. I really don't think it will be useful or helpful for my health and well-being. And it was a difficult boundary to have to set, but it was important for him to do that. And in terms of, you know, can we change and become more positive in our thinking? Absolutely. We all have kind of default patterns of thinking, but we can change those if we become conscious that we are letting maybe our inner critic or a negative voice from the past, you know, impact our lives. If we kind of raise a red flag that we're having those negative thoughts and become aware of them, that's the first step. And the second step is detaching from them, choosing not to listen to them. I work a lot with recovering alcoholics, and they will say, you know, there's always a part of them that wants to drink, but you have to choose not to listen to it. And that's really what I'm suggesting. It's choosing not to listen to that negative voice and instead to choose something more positive. Again, to practice gratitude, to look at the good parts, and to make that shift. You asked if it's possible to help coach somebody else to become more positive in their thinking, and that's a little bit more tough. I always go back to the serenity prayer, which is, you know, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And really, we have the power to change ourselves, our own thinking, our own behaviors, our decisions, our choices, our actions, our words, but we really can't control the behaviors of another. So it's really up to us to set the boundaries in our relationships that are going to promote health and well-being in our lives.
Yeah, it's a really good point. You know, I think that, you know, if somebody were, like, let's say I had a negative friend and they said, okay, Carolyn, every time I'm negative, I want you to remind me, hey, be more positive. That may get a little irritating, and that friend may become resentful of me saying, hey, little, you know, gloomy Gus, be more positive.
Right, absolutely. It's a difficult position to be in, definitely.
Right, so take it on yourself to do those things. Be aware, choose not to listen to the negative thoughts, and choose positive things like gratitude. Another thing that we kind of associate with negativity is anger. Of course, we think, I think of anger as being a potentially negative emotion, although I realize that there are purposes to our angry feelings, and our angry feelings are valid as well. But I'm wondering, number one, is anger always considered a negative emotion? And number two, how do you counsel people on how to successfully manage anger?
Well, I agree with you that many people feel that anger is a negative emotion. However, I feel that it's a normal and necessary emotion. It's a natural response to many issues in life, including cancer. And it's important for us to honor those feelings and accept them rather than denying them, and learn ways of expressing anger appropriately by talking with others. That might be friends, it might be family, it might be a support group or a doctor or a therapist, journaling. I really believe in the power of exercise to release anger. I believe that we store our feelings as waves of energy in our body, and that can negatively impact our health. And so becoming aware of that and releasing that energy through exercise can be really cathartic and healing. So I feel like that's extremely important. I really feel like anger, our feelings are always a normal response to whatever it is that we're experiencing and whatever we've been through in our life. And sometimes it lets us know that something's wrong or something doesn't feel right, and it alerts us that we need to make changes in our life. And again, the key is really to focus on what you can change within yourself rather than focusing on being stuck, being angry with somebody else and waiting for them to change. You know, that's definitely something I see a lot in my practice.
I think it's such a good point. I mean, I want to repeat some of the things because you bring up some really good points to emphasize. So anger is not necessarily a negative emotion. It's normal. It's necessary. We can journal. We can exercise. And that these stored feelings can impact our health. And these stored feelings need to be released. And we need to let them go. When it comes to anger and negativity, if in fact, I mean, how do we know? Let's take anger first. How do we know when our anger is not normal and necessary? And how can we communicate with a loved one who's just not seeing it?
Well, I think that the way I think about it is that we all have almost like virtual containers inside of us. And these containers are for different emotions. And sometimes our containers become very full. So if your anger container is very full and your partner says something to you that upsets you, that whole container can come out. It can tap into that whole container and all of those feelings can come out. So it looks like a disproportionate response to the situation at hand, but it's really old feelings that are being tapped into and expressed. And so that's why it's important for all of us to really empty our containers on a regular basis, to become mindful and aware of our anger, and to, you know, communicate with our loved ones about what we're feeling. I know in my own relationship, I try to give my husband some warnings when I'm just really not in the right place to have even a conversation to work out a conflict that we're having. I'll just say, you know what, I'm at a level 10 and I need a timeout, and, you know, we can resume this conversation later. Or I might say, you know what, I'm just feeling really stressed and really irrational right now, and I just need some space. And communicating that proactively can be really helpful to other people.
I would agree. And I think that communication, clear communication, open communication is so critical. And even before you get in the angry engagement, you know, having permission to come home and say, gosh, you know, I've just had a really hard day. And if we talk, I may come across as being crabby, or I need some space, I need to be alone, don't take it personally, or, I mean, whatever that conversation is, having permission and giving your partner or your loved one permission to, you know, just be open and honest, like, okay, tell me how you feel.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that I think about with anger is that I think of it as being like fire, that it really can, it can be destructive if it's not managed appropriately, but it also can foster heat. It can foster intimacy. And, you know, I think about the relationships in my life that are the closest and the most meaningful. They're relationships where we can have a conflict and I know that that person isn't going to go anywhere. And anger is, you know, as long as it's managed appropriately and communicated appropriately, you know, it really can be an opportunity for growth and learning and healing. So I think some of us are afraid of it and we avoid it and then we end up blowing up because we've stored things that we're upset about for too long.
Yeah, right. We let it build. And so what about negativity? How do we know when our negativity is getting the best of us? Are there signs that kind of indicate, okay, you know, you're really, really going down a wrong, path here?
Right, absolutely. Well, we can have physical signs like headaches and stomach aches and muscular tension. And sometimes we have to step out of ourselves and gain some perspective and self-awareness. So paying attention to how other people are responding to you and look at their face as if it were a mirror. And if they're smiling and they're looking like they're pleased to be with you, then you're doing okay. But if they look distressed and uncomfortable and their body language is revealing that they're uncomfortable, you might be becoming negative. And, you know, I think also just paying attention to your words. I believe really in the power of words. So if you're saying things like, you know, never and, you know, really emphatic negative beliefs, that's going to be a sign that you're thinking negatively.
Right. And now I'd like to talk a little bit about boundaries because you mentioned it previously and I really want to give props to the guy who said, no, I don't want my brother to be there because he stresses me out. So what a good boundary. How do you help people have a healthy boundary?
I'm really passionate about boundaries. Before I became a therapist, I never really thought about it. And I don't think that lay people think enough about boundaries. We all have boundaries, whether it's physical boundaries, sexual boundaries, information boundaries, you know, what we choose to share with people, time boundaries, and that sort of thing. And I like the quote from Dr. Phil. I don't know how I feel about him otherwise, but he said, we teach people how to treat us. And, you know, the point there is that it's up to us to set our boundaries and to demonstrate that we care about ourselves. And so I always coach my clients to be assertive with their communication and their relationships. And assertiveness is really the happy medium between being passive, which is kind of like being a doormat, or being aggressive. And I always say healthy self-esteem is somewhere between diva and doormat. That, you know, the diva is not respectful of other people and their boundaries, and she might be entitled. And the doormat is not respectful of herself and her own boundaries. But healthy self-esteem is when you care about yourself and you speak in a way that's honest and direct and advocates for yourself in a positive way. And sometimes that does mean setting limits and saying no, even to people who we love and care about.
Okay, so I want to repeat that healthy self-esteem lies somewhere in the middle of diva and doormat. Is that what it was?
Yes, healthy self-esteem. I think it's about midway between diva and doormat.
I like that one. I'm going to actually post that one on Facebook for sure, because that one, for people who haven't been able to tune in tonight, that's a good one, and I'll definitely be posting some of these other ones. And I think that you bring up a good point about assertive, because sometimes we think of the term being assertive, that we're being aggressive, you know, or, you know, we're being, and excuse my language, but we're being a bitch, or, you know, I mean, there's that stereotype. But what you're saying is that the assertiveness is not that extreme. It's in the middle.
Yes, absolutely. And I think especially women that were socialized to be, to put others' needs before ourselves, and we're socialized to not set healthy boundaries for ourselves. And so it's unfortunate that assertive behavior can be labeled as bitchy or something, because it certainly isn't. It's about caring about yourself and respecting the other person. And it's really about being diplomatic. You know, you can be kind and you can be professional and you can be appropriate, but you can also take care of yourself and your own needs. And it's your responsibility to do that, especially when you're dealing with cancer.
I was just going to say that, Joyce, because, you know, that's probably a time in your life where you will be pushed to the point where you need that assertiveness on so many different levels, with your healthcare providers, with your family, friends, I mean, with just even yourself. And it's just such an important point when you're faced with a cancer diagnosis. That's the time to tap into that assertiveness.
Absolutely. I've coached my clients on, you know, being direct with their support network about how they can help them, what's useful and what's not useful. And I've had a friend who was dealing with cancer, and she had so many people who loved her and supported her that she was overwhelmed by the number of gifts and visitors and just really needed the time with her family. And so I coached her, you know, I suggested, why don't you just put it on your husband and have him ask everybody to, you know, please be respectful of their boundaries and their privacy and time. And, you know, these are the ways that you can help. And they had a website set up for helpers, but really needed to set some limits because people were showing up with very good intentions at her home. But then she was feeling obligated to entertain them when she really wasn't feeling well. So it's important to do that.
Yeah, I can relate. I mean, when I was in the hospital, the last thing I wanted were visitors, and I was in for you know, a fair amount of time, and my family stepped up and talked to people, and we actually ended up putting a sign on the door, and people were very respectful. And but it did feel kind of weird to have such a strong boundary, but in the end, it was the best thing for my health and for my recovery. So I was certainly glad that I did that. But you know what? It's time for our final break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation, and we're going to talk about stress and the opposite, relaxation. So stay tuned. We'll continue our conversation after this message.
We are constantly being bombarded by toxins in the air we breathe, water we drink, and even the foods we eat. So what's the answer? Glutathione. It's inside every cell in your body and protects you from the damage of oxidative stress and toxins. There's a special patented form of glutathione that is superior, called Cetria. Cetria is pure, vegetarian, and allergen-free. Help replenish your body's reserves of this very important nutrient, detoxified a natural way. Visit CetriaGlutathione.com. That's CetriaGlutathione.com.
Are you interested in boosting your brain power? So am I. This is Carolyn Gazella, co-host of 5 to Thrive Live, and I'm here to tell you about a supplement that I take. The human brain needs a lot of nutrition to stay focused throughout the day. Citicoline naturally enhances energy-producing centers within the brain. Cognizant delivers a clinically tested, patented form of citicoline that supplies your brain with the energy it needs to stay sharp. Look for Cognizant on the label, or for more information, visit Cognizant.com. That's Cognizant.com.
Green tea is good for us. It's a key part of the 5 to Thrive plan. What if you don't care for the taste of green tea? And with so many green tea supplements, how do you choose? No one wants to waste their money on a poor quality product, and I know I want organic to avoid the harmful toxins. That's why you should choose Sunfinen. Sunfinen from Tomorrow's Nutrition gives you the highest quality green tea possible, and they offer 100% satisfaction guarantee. They have confidence in the quality of all their products. As a special offer to 5 to Thrive listeners, Tomorrow's Nutrition will give you 20% off your order. Go to tomorrowsnutrition.com and type in the code 5 to Thrive when you check out, and you'll automatically receive 20% off your order. Get quality. Get results. Get Sunfinen Green Tea from Tomorrow's Nutrition. That's tomorrowsnutrition.com. And don't forget to type in the code 5 to Thrive to get 20% off your order.
Welcome back to 5 to Thrive Live. I'm Carolyn Gazella, tonight's host, and I'm joined by Joyce Martyr, who is a clinical counselor in the Chicagoland area and the owner of Urban Balance. A lot of great information before that break, and now we're going to switch gears a little bit, and we're going to talk about stress, because sometimes stress is what actually brings out, or it can bring out, some of these more negative or harmful emotions and feelings. So Joyce, how does stress affect our health?
Well, when we're under stress, we have emotional responses to stress in terms of anxiety or depression or worry. And we also have physical responses to stress, including increased blood pressure. Stress makes our breathing more shallow and rapid, which can exacerbate headaches and migraines and increase muscle tension. Sometimes people experience gastrointestinal problems when dealing with stress, and it definitely can impact sleep and appetite negatively. Sometimes people have difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep, or they have a poor appetite, or they're binge eating as a way to cope with stress. So people have all different kinds of responses to stress that can negatively impact both their mental and physical health.
Yes, it is so critical. We did a Thrive Thought on Stress just recently, and we found out today that it was one of the most popular Thrive Thoughts that we've done in a long time. I mean, people are hungry for information as to how they can reduce or mitigate the impacts of stress, and they do that by utilizing good relaxation techniques. And I'm wondering, what are some of your favorite relaxation techniques that can kind of help us manage stress in a more positive way?
I am really a firm believer in mindfulness practices like deep breathing and meditation. I believe, you know, a lot of my clients will say, oh, breath work, it sounds so simple, just breathe and you'll feel calmer. But for thousands of years across many cultures, people have said that the breath is what ties together the mind, the body, and the spirit. And when we're under stress, we breathe more shallowly and rapidly, and it affects our thinking and our physical health. And so by deepening and slowing our breath, we're bringing our attention to the present moment, and we can breathe in what we need. I always coach my clients to breathe in, you know, imagine that they're breathing in serenity or peace or strength or health. And then when they're exhaling, to imagine they're breathing out what they don't need, stress, anxiety, fear, worry, or even cancer. And breath work is extremely important. I like Dr. Andrew Weil, the integrated health physician that has been on Oprah. He has a guided breathing CD that I think is excellent, and he has some YouTube videos as well. And I believe in mindfulness practices. I took a mindfulness meditation class, a yoga class, and it was so helpful. And really, it's about the importance of being aware of the present moment and being connected to your body. So stopping, you know, looking at your emails and being on what I call the gerbil wheel of life, of, you know, work and household and personal responsibilities, and stopping and checking in with yourself and noticing where you're holding stress in your body and breathing into that part of your body and breathing out the tension that you're feeling. So I would definitely recommend mindfulness practices. I believe firmly in the power of meditation. There are many great meditation things that you can download easily and do some guided meditation on your iPod or do that in the mornings or the evenings, I think is great. Positive or progressive muscle relaxation is also really an effective relaxation technique. And it's basically where you tighten the muscles in your body and then release the muscles and relax them. And you start from, you know, the top of your head down to the tip of your toes. And that can be a great thing to do before sleep. Stretching is so important, and just getting moving. And we live in such a sedentary lifestyle. It's important to stretch and move and just get our juices flowing, I think is really, really important. Practices of self-care are an extremely important part of minimizing the negative impact of stress. You talked about the importance of nutrition and exercise and rest. Those are all really important. And I believe in alternative therapies. So if it's within your budget to get a massage or to see a chiropractor or an acupuncturist, I think all of those things can be a really important part of holistic health.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, in terms of awareness, we have our next issue of the magazine coming out, and there's an article on awareness, and it provides some areas where people can focus on to just even start being more aware, because I think you're right. I think life gets in the way of us being able to check in and being able to kind of pause and be aware and take a deep breath. And it is interesting about breathing, because when I tell people that as well, they're like, oh yeah, right. I mean, it almost sounds too good to be true. Like, right. I'm going to take a deep breath when I'm under pressure or feeling stressed, and I'm going to do that periodically throughout the day, and it's going to make me feel better. But then when you do it and it works, you're like, wow, something's so simple.
Right. Absolutely. Actually, one of my clients who is dealing with cancer said to me, and I thought it was the best analogy for mindfulness. He said that it's as if our lives were like a record album. And when we're born, it's like when the needle sets down on the record. And he said, you know, if our minds jump ahead to the future or the past, we are scratching up our records and we're not hearing any music. And mindfulness is about staying in the present moment. And it was really interesting because he was in therapy with me before his cancer diagnosis. And at the session before his diagnosis, he and I were talking about mindfulness. And he said that that session is what got him through the initial phases of his diagnosis and treatment, which came about very quickly. And he would pay attention to the music that was playing while he was getting his MRI. He would pay attention to the fact that he was, you know, pretty comfortable, that his family was with him, that, you know, he's alive, that his children are doing well. And all of those things helped him through an enormously stressful time, which I was really happy to be a part of that.
Oh, absolutely. And what a wonderful analogy with the record. And not only would you scratch the record, but you'd also miss all the great songs in the middle.
Exactly. You know?
I just love that. I love that imagery and that analogy. Just to remind people some of the things that you mentioned, we've got deep breathing, meditation, progressive muscle relaxation, stretching, movement. And wow, what a great time, because with my stretching routine, I kind of work into my gratitude you know, thoughts of gratitude, positive thoughts. I actually work that into the movements that I make before bed, when I wake up. And then, of course, you mentioned self-care, which is the Five to Thrive program focuses on nutrition, rest, exercise, things like that. Anything else to add before we go into psychotherapy? Because I'd really like to explore how psychotherapy can help us. But is there anything else in terms of relaxation?
I think the other thing that I would suggest is the power of detachment, which is really a psychological practice of letting go, of kind of unplugging from all that you cannot control. So, you know, other people's responses, factors in life that we can't control, learning how to unplug from that and, again, just kind of focus on our own well-being and our own self-care. So I would definitely encourage listeners to do some reading and some reflecting on the process of detachment.
Oh, that's a great one to add. I'm glad that you added that because it's so absolutely critical. Now I'm wondering specifically with psychotherapy, what role can it play? And I have to be honest, I don't often think of counselors focusing on the mind-body connection. So is that kind of a unique thing, or is that kind of innate or kind of built into that profession?
I think it's a progressive thing. I think in the last 20 years or so, I think therapists are appreciating more and more the enormous power of the connection between the mind and the body. And the research really supports the importance of that connection. And so I think more and more therapists are having a holistic view. And a big part of our work is helping clients look at their thinking and how they process their emotions and their relationships and how that has an impact on their health. And in therapy, there's all different kinds of theoretical approaches and techniques, and some approaches are more body-centered. So they look at the things that we've been talking about today, about, you know, the feelings being stored in the body and that type of thing. And those would include body-centered therapies like biofeedback or hypnotherapy, dance or movement therapy, and EMDR, which is eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, which is a therapy that I studied, and it's enormously effective in helping people recover from trauma. And cancer treatment and diagnosis, it is a trauma. And so I definitely would recommend people to look into that. The organization is called EMDRIA, E-M-D-R-I-A. And I would recommend, you know, reading about that. But definitely, I think more and more therapists are recognizing that our work impacts people's physical health as well.
Yeah, and I actually did EMDR, and for me personally, it was life-changing. It was an amazing, amazing experience. And before I ask you any more questions, I want to find out what your website is, because I know that people are going to want to find out more about you and your work. How can they find out more about you?
Thank you so much. My website is Joyce, J-O-Y-C-E, dash Martyr, MARTER.com. And the website for my practice is urbanbalance.com.
Okay, perfect. My last question, and we only have about a minute or so. Psychotherapy in some cultures is considered weak or, you know, like, oh my gosh, that you shouldn't do that because it's a sign of weakness. What do you say to those people who feel that way?
You know, I really find that so unfortunate. I really see it as a preventative and proactive part of healthcare. Again, that we all deal with these issues as part of being a human being. And so I tell those people to think about it as a personal trainer for your mind, or a coach for your mind, or for your relationships, or for your thinking, or at least to give it a try. Meet with a therapist for one or two or three sessions. It certainly can't hurt. And I believe we all can benefit from it. And I'm glad you had a positive experience with EMDR. I've had it myself as well and also found it to be extremely helpful.
Well, that was great. I love the personal trainer for your mind. So this has been a terrific show, Joyce. Thank you so much for being on the show. And I want to remind our listeners that, again, you can find out more information about us, next week's schedule. Anything that you want to know about 5 to Thrive is at 5tothriveplan.com. Follow us on Facebook. Find us on Twitter. Just type in 5 to Thrive and we will be there. So enjoy the rest of your evening and may you experience joy, laughter, and love. And remember, it's time to thrive, everyone. Have a great night.